Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the partner of a Donegal man who was beaten in his home by a gang of masked men says he cannot breathe, talk or walk for himself 6 weeks after he was attacked. A number of elective procedures have been postponed at Letterkenny University Hospital due to a lack of bed capacity and the high volume of people presenting at the ED. Tributes are being paid to the victims of a fatal weekend crash in Gortahork. And Peter Casey has confirmed his intention to contest the upcoming presidential election. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. First news this evening, the partner of a Donegal man who was beaten in his home by a gang of masked men says he cannot breathe, talk or walk for himself 6 weeks after he was attacked. 26-year-old Charles Duher from Lifford was beaten by the gang armed with iron bars on January the 20th. He suffered severe head injuries in the attack and is on a life support machine in hospital. Charlotte Gallant says her boyfriend could have been killed.
By some miracle, he is still with us today, and it's just going to take a lot of time to get him back to where he was physically and obviously psychologically too, because you only imagine the trauma that comes from such a vicious, brutal attack of somebody actually breaking into your house and violating your privacy like that and then beating you. I would sit by his side, you know, every day if I had to, but definitely it throws a curveball in the way our future was to be planned. You know, we talked about having children and stuff, and then you just question, like, if we were to bring children up in this world and in this community, are they safe and is he safe?
A number of elective procedures have been postponed at Letterkenny University Hospital due to a lack of bed capacity and the high volume of people presenting at the hospital's ED. Yesterday, 124 people attended the emergency department, with a similar figure being reported today. People are being urged to only attend the ED in the case of an emergency. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
Yesterday, 124 patients attended the ED. It's estimated there's over 70 in attendance this afternoon, with 10 awaiting admission to a ward. All hospital beds are occupied, with efforts being made to see discharges made where possible. Patients attending for non-urgent care will face significant delays. Urgent, time-sensitive elective procedures will go ahead, and those who are having their procedures postponed will be contacted directly. Emergency cases will be prioritised in the ED. The hospital has apologised for any inconvenience and distress caused. Patients are urged to attend their GP or out-of-hours services for non-emergencies.
Tributes are being paid today to the victims of a fatal weekend crash in Gortahork. PCC Fulcara says, as a school, they are deeply saddened by the passing of former pupils, teenager Sean Martin McLafferty and Jimmy Diver, who was in his 20s. The two men, both from Gortahork, were pronounced dead at the scene after the car they were travelling in hit the gable wall of a house at around 9:30 on Friday night in the Balteny area. In a statement, PCC Fulcara says the pair will be remembered for their strong friendships, gentle kindness and zest for life. Mr. Diver will be laid to rest on Wednesday following Requiem Mass at the Christ the King Church in Gortahork, while Mr. McLafferty's funeral mass will be held on Thursday morning at Chapel Creasery. Peter Casey has confirmed his intention to contest the upcoming presidential election. The businessman previously contested the presidential election in 2018, as well as last year's European election for the Midlands Northwest constituency. Mr. Casey believes Europe's influence in Ireland needs to be reviewed. He told today's 9 till noon show that the power of the president has not been properly exercised to date.
We do have a serious problem. We're getting too much influence from Europe, and you know, the Irish government is really not in a position to make very many decisions about anything. The president has the ability to, you know, to really bring power back to the county councils. Just to give you an example, if Michael D. Higgins was to show up in Donegal and put his finger in the crack of a mica house, it would bring attention onto the whole mica issue, you know. So the presidency has got a lot of power that has never actually really been used.
The residents of a housing estate in Buncrana affected by defective concrete blocks are demanding sustainable solutions. Ongoing delays in flood prevention measures are adding to the crisis facing homeowners in Elm Park. Concerns are said to have reached a critical point. Donegal Deputy Charles Ward says the current approach from government risks worsening the financial and emotional strains of residents. There's calls for representatives from the OPW, the Department of Finance and the Housing Authority to attend a public meeting on March the 10th to devise a solution. Deputy Ward says those with the power to do so must do the right thing.
It's a double whammy. Basically, you know, having a defective concrete home, it's an ordeal. Imagine having a defective concrete home that's built in a floodplain, that if you come and do the work and you rebuild your home and you move into your home, there's absolutely nothing stopping your home from flooding. So what we're saying is it's in a floodplain, do the right thing. OPW have to realise that this is economically unviable. Give the people what they need, their grant amount, and let them move on with their lives and do not build on a floodplain.
Has there been close calls before, Deputy?
Yes, there's been close calls before, and there'll be close calls again. You know, I mean, the flood defences aren't built. Nothing has been built here. You know, we're talking about a flood defence wall, which, by going by OPW standards, will cost an absolute fortune. So why would we put millions of pounds into walls to protect 8 houses when these people moving into these houses do not want to be living in a floodplain that more than likely could flood again? And we don't know if these walls could hold back the volume of water that was flooded before.
The leader of the DUP says the heated exchange between Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky on Friday isn't making him think twice about sending party colleagues to Washington for St. Patrick's Day events. Gavin Robinson's described it as appalling to watch and says President Zelensky is a gentleman, but he says it doesn't change his party's plans.
Well, no, it doesn't. And even those that aren't sending their colleagues to the United States recognise that there is a difference when you're there fulfilling an executive obligation, when you're there as a position holder. And the Deputy First Minister is rightly going to represent Northern Ireland, rightly ensuring that Northern Ireland's voice is heard.
The government is being urged to remove what's being described as a de facto recruitment freeze for home care assistants in Donegal. Last year, the government said a recruitment embargo had been lifted and replaced with a pay and number strategy, which some say is a freeze just given a different name. Donegal Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin is criticising what he says is a government policy of increasing funding for private home care providers while at the same time blocking the recruitment of home care assistants by the HSE. Deputy McLaughlin is urging the government and the HSE to review their priorities.
What I found very frustrating is that the most senior official in the HSE in the West and Northwest, Tony Canavan, recently talked about the fact that we have the highest number of older people cared for directly by the state through the HSE here in Donegal, that was a problem. I think that's something to be very proud of. They know the community, they have the networks, they have the quality of staff. That's the level of service that we need in Donegal. Something we should be proud of. We just need more. We just need more. And we need to be able to recruit more. But the government has stopped that. And at the same time that the government has stopped the HSE hiring more staff, they're saying that you can engage with private providers. How does that make sense? Is this about making profit, or is it about, for some, just a small number of people, or is it about delivering a quality service to a county like Donegal? So I'm challenging the senior manager at the HSE, but most importantly, I'm challenging the government, the Minister for Health, to do what's right by our people in Donegal.
A proposed end to the triple lock on sending peacekeepers abroad is being described as an attack on Ireland's neutrality. Taoiseach Simon Harris will bring a memo to government tomorrow to end the requirement for UN approval before Ireland can send more than 12 members of the Defence Forces on missions abroad. The government argues the measure is outdated and the UN veto enjoined by the US, Russia and China needs to be removed. Social Democrats TD Sinead Gibney is totally opposed to the move.
We have huge concerns over this. I mean, essentially, we see it as an attack on our neutrality. I think the suggestion that peacekeeping missions being in line with the UN Charter is really just a prerequisite that is too broad to be in any way meaningless. And I think it's a real shame that we've heard a lot from this government about the problems that are posed by the UN mandate, but we've heard very little about the huge benefits that that same mandate confers on us.
The number of drug offences in Donegal rose by 120% in the third quarter of last year. Latest figures from the Central Statistics Office show that incidents of driving under the influence, burglaries and rapes and sexual assaults increased in the county also. Nationally, the number of burglaries is up 10%, while theft-related crimes rose by 7%, mainly due to theft from shops. However, the Central Statistics Office reports there were 12% less incidents of homicide during that period. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In Donegal, the number of sexual offences reported to Gardaí increased by 28% in quarter three of 2024 compared to the same period the previous year, while reports of rape and sexual assault were up 12%. The biggest increase in offences was drug-related. That jumped 120%, with 150 offences recorded. In terms of driving under the influence, that was up 16%. The number of drug-driving offences remained stable, while drink-driving increased by 22%. In line with the national picture, burglaries in Donegal were up 25%, robberies were down 23%, thefts down 33%, and incidents of blackmail and extortion in the county dropped by 53%. According to the figures released today, weapons and explosive offences in Donegal have decreased by 14%, while criminal damage incidents have risen by 4%.
Investigations are continuing after two women were attacked by a group of youths in Derry over the weekend. The women were set upon on Saturday night between 8 and half past 8 in the Foyle Street area. Police are appealing to anyone who witnessed the assault to contact them on the non-emergency number 101. Talks related to a pay rise among community and voluntary healthcare workers are continuing at the Workplace Relations Commission. Section 39 workers are looking for pay parity with their public sector counterparts as they argue they are doing the same work on behalf of the state. Talks have been ongoing for 6 hours. Assistant Director of Industrial Relations for the INMO, Colin Porter, says these workers deserve equal pay.
All of these organisations will get funding through the Section 39 funding route, and it's without doubt. I don't think anybody, if you ask anybody on the street, you know, are these people public servants? Most people say that they are, but when it comes to their paying conditions, it's not reflected.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoes for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Donegal picked up a 4-1 in Division 1 of the Alliance National Football League yesterday as they outscored Derry 1-7-0 score in the closing stages to take the one by 3 points at Ballyshannon. It means they're levelling points at the top with unbeaten Galway, who battled back for a draw against Tyrone and Tuam. At this stage of the campaign, it was hoped that the teams would have settled under the new rules, but it doesn't seem to be the case, with changes made by the FRC and a more challenging game now for the players. Donegal boss Jim McGuinness can't understand at times what the direction is.
Things are being introduced, you know, midstream. You know, the 20-second rule on the kickouts over the weekend was, you know, I don't understand what we're trying to do here. Yeah. Is that we're trying to create a game where everything, I don't understand where a player gets a breather.
Yeah.
You know, there is no opportunities. You know, before, when the ball went over the bar or wide, you would be jogging out to your position and you'd be able to get a breather and you'd be like, right, okay, I need to go again and, you know, process for a couple of seconds. They're playing under serious fatigue at the moment, and maybe, you know, today those couple of subs that we were able to bring in versus Derry that had put so much into the game made the difference. But I think in terms of the player welfare aspect of it, it's very, very, very hard at the moment and very, very challenging for the lads.
That's Jim McGuinness, and there's more from the Donegal boss available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. And there'll be lots more talk tonight on the weekend's games in the DL debate with Brendan Devaney, which airs just after the 7 o'clock news. Now to soccer. There's a full round of games in the SSE Airtrusty Men's Premier Division tonight. St Patrick's Athletic host Derry City. Pats picked up a first one of the season last Friday, while Derry suffered defeat to Waterford at the Brandywell. Derry boss Tiernan Lynch is hoping there's a bounce back in Dublin from his side tonight.
You hope so, yeah. You hope so. That's definitely something that we'll be looking at. There's no hiding place in this, me included, and we need that bounce back ability, yeah.
Sligo Rovers manager John Russell has called on his players to come out fighting tonight as they welcome Shamrock Rovers to the showgrounds. The Bitter Red came out on the wrong side of a 7-goal thriller at St Patrick's Athletic last Friday. Russell explained after the game why a home match against the Hoops tonight is a perfect follow-up.
It's brilliant. I'm absolutely delighted. It's the best thing you can have after the game we had tonight, a home game. Our fans, the away support tonight, applaud the players at the end. We need them packing the showgrounds on Monday night. These players are giving it everything. You know, they're hurting. We're all hurting at the moment. But we've got to come out fighting on Monday.
In the other games tonight, Shelburne go to Galway United. Bohemians play Drogheda United. And at the RSC, it's Waterford up against Cork City. All games kick off 7:45. The quarterfinal lineup in the FA Cup rather will be finalised tonight. Nottingham Forest play Ipswich Town at the City Ground, with the winner set to progress to a meeting with Brighton. Kickoff there is at 7:30. A deal for Rangers to be taken over by US investors has been agreed in principle. Pagram Marthe, president of the NFL team, the San Francisco's 49ers investment arm, is one of two key figures involved. A period of due diligence is now taking place, with legal paperwork being drafted up. Rangers would become the second British club the NFL giants have invested in after taking over Leeds United in 2023. On the rugby front, Leinster lock Joe McCarthy has signed a 3-year central contract with the IRFU that will keep him playing rugby in Ireland until the summer of 2028. McCarthy joins Connacht wing Mac Hansen in signing a central contract today. Hansen put pen to paper on a 2-year deal and will look to add to his tally of 27 Ireland caps. Gordon Elliott has confirmed that brighter days ahead will run in the champion hurdle at the Cheltenham Racing Festival later this month. That sets up a duel with Constitution Hill. And finally, there will be celebrations in the county this evening. The Donegal men's darts team won the Irish National Darts Organisation All-Ireland Championship for a 14th time on Sunday. In the final in Killarney, they overcame Cork 7-2. Jordan Boyce with the winning final match, prompting great celebrations afterwards, and I'm sure they're set to continue this evening. But in the ladies' final, Donegal put up a great performance but lost out to Dublin, being beaten 4-1. And that's your sport, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, concerns being raised that an ongoing discussion about a bypass for Bridgend could lead to land effectively being sterilised for planning purposes. Councillor Paul Canning believes a time limit should be imposed on the delivery of the bypass, and if funding is not received within 5 years, then planning restrictions should be lifted. He says further discussion is needed with Transport Infrastructure Ireland and the government to ensure that if a bypass route is finalised and planning granted, then funding will be forthcoming and work commence within 5 years. He says in the Twin Towns, land was sterilised for decades while they awaited a bypass, and says that cannot be allowed to be repeated in Bridgend.
It could be 20 years before you get funding for a project. And what has happened in previous locations is land has been sterilised from planning. And I'm fearful that the same thing could happen to Bridgend. So I'm asking that in this instance, if we have a prepared route, that if we are going to funding and we don't receive funding within 5 years, that the sterilisation of that land should be removed to allow the town to develop. That's going that it does get planning. Bridgend is one of our 7 strategic towns that we have zoned for the purpose of encouraging development within the town because it's in close proximity to Derry. We have a very commercialised village there, and I would like it to continue because it's bringing in revenue to the county, and it's also bringing revenue into the council.
Using the Twin Towns as an example is appropriate because obviously what happened with the Twin Towns is there would have been a preferred route. That's now, of course, been completely superseded by the fact that it's now part of the 10T. Land that it would have been presumed would have had a bypass built on it within 5 years has now been left in limbo for 25 years plus.
That is correct. There would have been people that would have wanted to build their houses in that land, and they would have been so told, no, we have a bypass plan for here, and they would have been refused planning. And now that has been completely scrapped to a different area. So I don't want the same thing to happen in Bridgend.
Local Enterprise Week is underway in Donegal. Over 20 events are planned in the county this week. The initiative is aimed at helping both new and established businesses improve profitability, digitise and gain green credentials. Brenda Hegarty is Head of Enterprise at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office. She says LEOs are there to support local businesses at every stage.
It's a great week in the calendar. It's an opportunity to shine a light on local businesses and an opportunity for them to network, to learn, think of new ways of doing business and bring in new areas into the business, whether that's digitalisation, export focus, looking at AI and the opportunities there, as well as building connections with like-minded business. So we've events focusing on tourism, on creatives, on food, engineering. So there's something for everybody all week.
There's also the reality that you're offering services which perhaps people mightn't necessarily be aware of. So it's giving you the chance to say, look, we are the local enterprise office. This is what we can do for you.
Yeah, the local enterprise office has supports available to all businesses up to 50 employees. So whether you need a mentor to overcome a challenge, maybe financial support to employ new staff, look at investment in new equipment, or look at opportunities to drive down costs, look at efficiencies, the Enterprise Office have great supports and available all year. And this week is a great opportunity to connect with the local Enterprise Office team and indeed other enterprise support agencies, whether that's training or advisory, to hear what's out there on offer and bring that back into their business.
Donegal County Council is being urged to examine the cost effectiveness of wooden fences. Councillor Michael McBride says while wood is a cheaper option, it's not sustainable in the long term, particularly in adverse weather conditions. Many wooden fences were damaged across the county during Storm Éowyn. Councillor McBride believes concrete to be a more robust option.
This last two storms we had, the amount of wooden fences that fell around houses was just absolutely incredible. I know Donegal County Council themselves have just been inundated with calls from people living in county council houses about fallen fences, and I suppose the first thing you have to go out and clean up the fences that have fallen down, just, you know, and that's just of health and safety. And the second thing then is just to replace all these fences. Most of these fences that fail are fences that were put up maybe around 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago at the tail end of the Celtic Tiger. Posts are completely rotten, and whenever the storm came along, it just wiped them out. I think, you know, we need to look at putting in concrete posts going forward, because the lifespan of wooden posts, and it's quite common knowledge out there, is even shorter than it used to be because of the creaser that's used for to treat the posts, for to preserve them. It's not the same quality that it used to be. There's some chemicals that wear in that type of preservative that's no longer in it. So, I mean, 5 or 6 years is the lifespan of a wooden post now, most people will tell you. So I think it's completely foolish to be putting them in on any new developments. I think with Donegal County Council, certainly need to be looking at putting in concrete posts and using some form of wire, and probably recommend it for anybody that's at a private development as well.
Weather now mostly cloudy today with some patchy rain, highest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. The partner of a Donegal man who was beaten in his home by a gang of masked men says he cannot breathe, talk or walk for himself 6 weeks after he was attacked. 26-year-old Charles Duher from Lifford was beaten by the gang armed with iron bars on January the 20th. A number of elective procedures have been postponed at Letterkenny University Hospital due to a lack of bed capacity and the high volume of people presenting at the ED. Yesterday, 124 people attended the emergency department, with a similar figure being reported today. Tributes are being paid to the victims of a fatal weekend crash in Gortahork. PCC Fulcara says as a school they are deeply saddened by the passing of former pupils, teenager Sean Martin McLafferty and Jimmy Diver, who was in his 20s. And the number of drug offences in Donegal rose by 120% in the third quarter of last year. Latest figures from the Central Statistics Office show that incidents of driving under the influence, burglaries and rapes and sexual assaults increased in the county also. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, you can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Good evening.
The obituary notices this Monday evening, March 3rd. The death has taken place of Sean Martin McLafferty, Baltony Gortahork. Remains are en route to the family home. Removal and wake are private for family only. Funeral mass will take place in Chac Pubble Crisht Rí Gortahork on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of John Crossan, Lemma Crossan, Quigley's Point and formerly of Warren View Muff. John's remains are reposing at the home of his nephew James and Tina Breslin, Carrick McQuigley. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St. Columbus Church, Drung, followed by interment in Drung Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on stclumbusdrung.net. the death has taken place of Jean Stewart Rohan Remelton, reposing at the residence of her son John and Margaret Stewart Rohan Remelton. House private pleas at the request of the deceased. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. in Remelton Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in Bank Cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel Family Flowers Only. Donations, if desired, to Arasu Donal Residence Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.